Good evening. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you're listening to Mondo Eros live on bbsradio.com. And Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Yule time. Happy solstice. I think I've covered just about everyone. this is our Christmas Eve broadcast for 2009. And I'm very happy and I'm very merry tonight because I have with me once again the Reverend Goddess Charmaine for the full hour.
Terrific.
And how are you today, Goddess?
I'm great. I'm great. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very, very well. Got through the day, and we're ready to have some interesting conversations. And I just let everyone know the Reverend Goddess and I have regular conversations, you know, outside of the broadcast. We do emailing. And we were having one the other day, and we were talking about the broadcast last week that we had, that I had done with Susan Crane Bakos and some topics that had been raised there, and you know, we were really getting into it, and I said, you know what, this sounds like a broadcast, this sounds like this, we should be putting this on tape.
As do and, all of our conversations, oh my goodness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so since we have this spot open tonight, and Reverend Goddess Charmaine has been so gracious that she is free for this hour, we're going to do the broadcast now, and we're going to talk. So basically what started this all off, Susan Crane Bakos and I had this, one of the things that we were talking about was women in their 30s who had been part of the hookup scene, you know, hooking up in bars, getting drinking, drunk, and having sex in bathrooms and stuff like that. By the time they reach 30, they're kind of turned off to sex, and they're kind of shut down. That was the thing that basically got our conversation going.
Right, right. And I was just telling you what I think is going on with energy exchange. You want me to go from there?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I've discovered over the years, I'm learning every day, all of us are, and I'm just happy to be able to do this kind of work with people because sexual energy is a very powerful energy, is a powerful force that we share with one another, but at the same time, it's a very vulnerable energy. So, you know, positive energy is energy when you are giving energy to another, receiving energy from another, and sharing pleasure. Negative energy exchange is if you are taking energy, stealing energy, or control for power. And the way that I've been noticing it, working with people and the way the world, the society around us is. So when you're getting into women, meeting men in bars and getting drunk to allow themselves to experience something that they really want to experience, probably spontaneous sex, giving freedom, but at the same time walking away from it depleted or like emptier than when they began. Sexual energy is a life force energy, and when you are connecting with another person, you are creating a oneness. That oneness is how we continue to create life. But what I've been noticing happening is I think it's more if the consciousness, like if we're really talking about meeting somebody, I mean, because I've been there, I don't know if other people have been there, I would think maybe, you know, like in your 20s, when you start clubbing,
yeah,
and going to bars and bar hopping, and you just, you know, you're sitting across the bar and you catch someone's eye or someone sends you a drink, that's flattering.
Yeah.
So what starts to happen with that kind of energy, you're actually starting to raise the vibration because people are connecting, and you, as you're sending and receiving energy to each other, you actually are becoming aroused by that. The chakras, all the chakra energy centers are being ignited.
Yeah.
So then you want to share that fuller through body contact. This is actually the gift that we give to each other by sharing our bodies. But what happens is if we go into goal orientation, where it's like, oh, to have the connection, most of the time, guys, is for the man to have his release. The woman is doing it in hopes that something else will manifest from it,
right,
rather than just really having release. So both parties end up walking away from it with lost energy rather than gained energy. And women end up not even desiring any kind of real contact with the man except to get her goal of marriage or children or money or whatever, rather than actually sharing pleasure. Guys end up most of the time creating what we call addiction, where the activity is to conquer and control and take, and that sexual encounter that I've noticed. And that's why a lot of people, especially men, come to me and not wanting, they recognize that they are doing something that's leaving them depleted rather than feeling
right.
aroused or balanced for a longer period of time. Where what happens is after the exchange has occurred, they walk away from it and they feel okay for a little bit, and then all of a sudden they don't feel the same. They don't feel almost either worse than they did before they had the encounter, or just the same, and they start this cycle all over again, which ends up creating addiction. So I think what's really
now, let me ask you about that. Now,
all right.
Isn't this, as you said, let's just take for men, isn't this mainly done from an unconscious?
Well, I don't know if it's really unconscious. I think we've become irresponsible with our sexual energy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're very
conscious.
But
how many people are really trained, you know, in the tantric arts, in sexual energy arts?
This is not even about tantra. This is about responsibility
right.
with how you are sharing your body. You don't even have to be tantric to know that I'm special.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beautiful. And I want to experience something with someone at this level. This is not, that's not tantric, that's healthy.
Right.
But, yeah,
But I think a lot of it, I think a lot of it, the stuff, especially the stuff that happens in bars, particularly after people have been drinking, I don't know if they're too aware of that on a conscious level. I mean, maybe on an unconscious level. That's what my question is.
I think that if you're drinking, you're socializing, you're drinking, and let maybe the spirits of the alcohol allow you to celebrate. Listen, I've been on top of a bar dancing. You know, I have a really good time, but I haven't really had bad sexual encounters around the drinking where it makes me unconscious, you know. So what I'm saying is there are people that, you know what they say about alcohol? What did they say, that alcohol makes you speak the truth or something, you know, something around
sure.
that? Yeah. What I'm really thinking is going on is, okay, we are raised, if people in their soul, in their character, if they're good and they want to share pleasure, no matter what's going on, they're always going to come off that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's jealousy or anger or resentment going on, the shit's going to come out. So we use the alcohol to give us permission to do things that we wouldn't normally do. But if we are innate in our soul, if we are coming from a place of really just wanting to celebrate the joy of being in a body and feeling my body against your body, my hand running across your face, your lingam in my yoni, it's going to happen and the alcohol, the wine is going to make me want to do it more because we relax our bodies. But that has nothing to do with tantra.
Right.
So what I'm saying is what's happening out here in the bars is a lot of manipulation where people are, I'm a woman. I've been out. I enjoy socializing with people in atmospheres like bars or clubs or in a social gathering at a party or in a tantric gathering. All of this is about meeting people. But when you are... you're saying that we unconscious from the fact that we are sharing pleasure for a higher purpose, all right? Then people in the bar are becoming very goal-oriented. When a guy is aroused by a woman, his goal is to ejaculate with that woman. But he doesn't understand what that is really all about except for that his dick is hard, he wants to come inside of her. He has no idea what he is expressing because, you know... we allow the alcohol to give us permission to behave in a manner that we wouldn't normally behave in because not unconscious, irresponsible. And I really think that it's important for us to start saying, you know, on one level you're sitting there in the bar and you're in a circle of a crowd and you kind of pick the person you want to be with. And there's all kinds of jokes. I mean, I've been there. You know, you meet a person in a bar, you've had some alcohol, you're dancing, the vibe feels good, and then you exchange numbers, and the next day you go, you meet them when you're sober, you're like, damn, he doesn't look as good as he did last night. I know the spirits kind of play with us that way, you know, so yeah, there's going to be some unconscious behavior going on like that. But in wholeness, I really think that a lot of us are, we have allowed ourselves not to take responsibility for the way that we are raising and sharing the idea of what we're doing in our sexual play, you know, because of the shame around it in our society. And yeah. that stems back from years and decades of us not taking responsibility for it, which is why we have a lot of dysfunction and sexual diseases and violence around sex. I hope that makes sense because, you know, people come of a certain age where we are spiritually responsible for what we're doing with our soul, right? In certain religions, you have what they call a coming of age ceremony because your parents can raise you to a certain point, but you come of a certain age where you make decisions based on where your life is going to go, and you're responsible for the turn that your soul takes. It's the same thing sexually. There's a lot of us, no matter what the church tells us, no matter what our family tells us, there's a part of us saying, you know what? I want to have sex with somebody. I know they're saying it's a sin, but there's something in me telling me I want to still connect with someone. Well, we can still be intelligent enough in our own body spirit to ask the question why. And so I think unconscious releases us from the responsibility of what we're doing with the people we're choosing to share energy with. And I want to say, you know, spirituality is next door to responsibility. And the people are walking around with their veil and the haze over their eyes because they just don't want to choose to look. They don't want to choose to see. They don't want to choose to experience more than what they're having right now. And we're having this conversation because we want to say, you know what? Yeah, I've turned my face away. I just did it because, you know, everybody was doing it. I'm just doing it because I hope I get a husband. I'm just doing it because, you know, if I don't, I'm going to feel bad about myself. I have low self-esteem, you know, so I'm behaving this way, and I'm not really honoring my body or the other person's body. And then we create addictions and cycles of violence and things like that. I know I said a lot.
No, I think that's very good. I just think that, you know, in everything, we just have to be more aware, more present, more awake.
How do you become that way? By being responsible, love, self-love.
Yes.
You know, you say, this is my life and I choose it. I may not like this area of my life. You know, they say a lot of times that people have to stop complaining. If you don't like something about yourself, change it. If you don't like something that's happening here, change it. Because we have a lot of power with what we're doing with our bodies. And we need to look at these scenes that's going on in these bars and clubs, because a lot of the time people say, well, you can't meet someone in a club and have a relationship with them because the expectation was just about sex, like something's wrong with that. It's because of the whole manipulative dynamics of it, you know. And there's one reason that we all continue to go out. Like, we really go out to dance and have a good time with people, and it's a lot of fun sometimes to meet strangers, you know, and have fun with them too. We share something. But then there's this other thing that's going on out there, and it's about hope. You know, when a person is, there's something that we have that's never going to leave us, and it's about hope. The encounters that we have with people, we hope that this next one will be the thing that I need. And I think that we are misrepresenting, and we're not understanding the pattern that our sexual energy takes. We're not understanding the purpose of it through pleasure, how we are actually giving off our energy and sharing pleasure with people that really we shouldn't be dealing with in these environments. And those environments tend to cause you to make choices that are goes against your better judgment because of the alcohol. And spirits are supposed to be used in settings where you feel safe, not unsafe. And environments like that can create an unsafe space if you're in a bar and you go in the bathroom with somebody to have sex, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and then you're left in there vomiting or whatever. All kinds of scenes go on because, you know, we're using this hope, we're using this something, a social setting that's supposed to bring community together, ends up tearing people apart because we're misusing the very essence that keeps us, that desires to go back into oneness. And many of the to understand what they're here to do as far as serving the woman instead of taking energy from the woman so that we can continue a healthy balance.
Yes, I just think that there's just so much, you know, there's unconsciousness, there's hidden agendas, there's second intentions.
Yeah, manipulation, yeah. I mean, if you want to go into the unconscious aspect, well, then I, you know, it's like ignorance is bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right.
Well, what I mean by unconscious meaning that I just think a lot of people who go in there just have like one idea, one intention, and they don't have a second intention, or they're just thinking of that
right,
moment.
Right, because they are not aware of the fact that the goal is actually just one level. The goal is
right.
Meeting someone and having a sexual exchange with them, and really that sexual exchange brings in so much more blessing when two people are coming together in their bodies to create a oneness. That's what actually intercourse is, oneness. Seeing the God, Goddess, and one another when you go into a vulnerable state of ecstasy, which leads you into eternal ecstasy, you know. And they don't know that that's actually occurring, even though we do go into altered state. I can't believe that someone wouldn't even figure that out, that, wow, you know, we go into a trance state when we're sharing our bodies with someone and we're breathing and we're sweating and we go into an altered state of consciousness and we reach that place of oneness with one another. Some people don't if they more goal, like you said, especially in a setting like a bar, because if you're already in a public place, you're really probably doing something you're not supposed to be doing anyway, so you're going to rush. You're going
right.
to go out, get in somebody's car, you know, so we're just trying to take what little bit we can just to make us feel good, and we have no idea the damage that we're causing. So if that's about being unconscious, then I understand where you're coming from with that, and we're trying to awaken the desire for more in our sexual
right.
encounters, even in environments like that.
And,
am I understanding you?
Oh, absolutely. And
okay.
Part of what we were talking about last week was what would be an alternative to that? What would be also, so how could one be more present, more conscious, more honest?
In a secular setting.
Yeah. What could be, you know, what could be better than that? How could it be better? And to me, I think that's really would be the goal is, you know, that, you know, to just do it in a way that, in a way that's more conscious, more aware, more present, so that all the cards are on the table. Nothing is hidden. There's no hidden agendas. There's no second intention. Everything is right out there as much as you can make it. And that way, there would not be these complications. It wouldn't be the regrets later on, which probably causes loss of energy. I think guys also have regrets as well.
Yeah.
And I think that helps to deplete your energy, if only on a psychological
yes.
basis or a psychosomatic basis.
Well, it
so
does.
I think
because
more we can be that way, the more out front that we can be with everything.
I think the first thing that needs to take place is about self-respect, self-love,
mm-hmm.
righteous judgment,
mm-hmm.
where, especially as young adults going into these scenes, we need to, you know, think about, first of all, what is your intention in going out tonight?
Mm-hmm.
My intention is to have a good time with the people I'm with, have a few drinks, maybe an appetizer, and go home. If I connect with someone else I don't know, cool. If your intention is to go out tonight, have some drinks with your friends, hopefully hook up with somebody, there you go. You know, if you're hooking up with someone, okay, what does that hookup look like? We need to develop a relationship with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a conversation with our bodies. And when we, you know, like you said, we're not raised this way.
No.
Right? So most of the time we're just going out, and when we go out and we're in a setting where we can meet new people, all the hopes come up. Is he going to be the one? Will she give me some?
Yeah.
It goes on. That's all that's really going on. But the ultimate point of that is really still the unified intention of oneness. We are still seeking to become one with another person through our bodies because that's what we're meant to do. We share pleasure. We love. the woman doesn't realize that is he the one? It's really about the oneness. Is she going to give me some? It's really about the oneness. But it's because it stays in a profane state of, you know, getting her, getting some, leaving her. I feel good. I got another one. How many have you been with? You know, to build the male ego. And the woman is like, yeah, it was good. He's nice. He's going to give me a call, you know. Or just maybe I'll do it because then he will give me a call because he knows he can, you know, get that from me. And it's not coming from the place of I'm special, and if I'm sharing my body with this person, then I know in my spirit this is the kind of person I want to share myself with, because something has, because of my connection to my own body, the questions and the thing, the way that I speak to myself, I love myself so much. Then when I'm out there, that same energy will resonate with me, and I will feel that in my heart. I will feel that in my pussy, and I want to share myself with someone. It may not necessarily be in the bathroom.
Right.
It may not be in the car, because then that is not the space where I can find myself letting me get into a vulnerable state. I'm just going to be pretty much used like a portal.
Right.
You know, exchange, sexual exchange is a powerful, powerful blessing between two people, three people, eight people, 12 people, whatever you're going to do, do your thing. The point is we need to understand that we are expressing the creative energy, the divine force in our bodies with another person. We become witness to the God goddess and each other by becoming vulnerable. Because when you are aroused, all these feelings come up and all these sounds come up, and the sensations take over our bodies. And we're just like shaking and moaning and breathing, and that whole light energy is coming through our eyes and our mouths and our portals, and the other person is witness to that, and we are witness to theirs. You can't get there in the bathroom.
Right.
You just basically, you know, straddle over the guy, sit on his dick, stroke 3, 4, 5, 8 times, whatever, until somebody comes. Like, if you got whiskey dick, he ain't coming anyway.
Yes.
You go down on your knees. You heard about that.
let me just say this, that I am not condoning or endorsing bathroom stall sex or car backseat sex or front seat sex. I am not condoning it. I am not endorsing it. I'm not a fan of it. I'm just using this as a jumping off part.
We could spend a whole hour talking about it, but yes, jump off. But yeah, I'm not. Yeah, but what my point is, you know, when we get into a space, you can have a wham bam thank you ma'am moment, and it can be the most empowering experience you've had with someone that is aware that my hand on your face, my lips on your lips, we've made a connection. That's a connection.
Right.
Okay? That's why we keep seeking. We have the hope that we will connect with someone. But in these environments, you don't have the time to actually be vulnerable. A 2-minute, a 5-minute, a 20-minute encounter in someone's home or even in the car might be better than in a bathroom stall where someone could walk in.
Right.
Because what's happening in the exchange is the vulnerability that brings us into our oneness with each other, which creates trust in the sexes with each other. With after that encounter, a positive encounter, you go out and you share that love with other people in different ways. So I think what's happening is that people, you know, are not understanding that the drive that we have to continue to be with one another is really about connecting to the oneness, to the one source of God in us, of Goddess. And you can whatever you want to call it, universal energy, creative life force, we all have it, and it's drawn to us and it's activated by our soul, and it connects from our heart into our genitals, and that's how we link to each other. You can be very generally in your genitals aroused by another person and never have sex with them, intercourse. But in all relationships, that root chakra, that genital area, will be activated because it's supposed to be. And you're just friends with the person. But that energy starts there and moves through all the other energy centers into the heart, out through the crown chakra, and you form a connection with the person. It still is of a sexual vibration.
So if you were teaching a course on this or a workshop, what would you do? How would you instruct people or counseling them?
I would probably, this is a good question. I would really like to.
I'm giving you an idea for a workshop.
Yeah, yeah. I would really like to. I would first want to separate men and women.
Yes.
And I would really like to teach men about, like in my Lingam intensive classes, I get into the virtues of the Lingam, the sex wisdom of the Lingam, and the yang energy in and of itself is up to
serve. Can you give us those virtues again?
Well, the virtues, in my Lingam intensive, I teach the virtues of the Lingam, the sex wisdom of the Lingam. The actual virtues are like kindness, compassion, honesty, and wisdom. There's all these, you know, the virtues that we actually incorporate in our consciousness in the way that you are sharing your Lingam with another person. And the kindness, righteousness, courteousness, wisdom, honesty. That's your dick talking, okay? A man needs to understand that he is here to provide pleasure, prosperity, okay, to protect. That's what the yang energy does. So the first off is men have more yang than women. They have yin as well, just like women have more yin than yang, but we have yang. You know, we learn to balance that out in things that we do. But I would do a workshop first on really getting men, the way I have been doing my Lingam intensives, is really teaching them about these virtues. The sex wisdom is to how to actually use this as far as technique and consciousness. And to want to really get into an energy where a consciousness of wanting to serve the woman, serve whoever they're sharing the energy with. I mean, this can go into same-sex relationships, please. I'm not making it about heterosexuality. But we're talking about encounters and bars. So I would really get into a space where I would want, I would have a gathering of men, probably gathering of women, and it would make, I would get these men into a space where they can really learn how to be of service. And another one would be almost like submissive. But I like the word submissive only because it's next door to vulnerability. I think when a man is allowing himself to be submissive to the woman, to worship the woman, he is saying that this woman I want to worship, and in my vulnerability, I honor her.
Mm.
I get on my knees in front of you. I kiss your feet. I kiss your knees. I kiss your sex. I kiss your heart. I kiss your lips to honor you. And when a man can get that in his consciousness, he is no longer afraid of that space, because men become very emotional in sex, very emotional. And if they can let themselves understand that in their consciousness before they become sexual, I think a lot of healing occurs, and then the exchange between two people, between a man and a woman, can become very, very powerful. And I would have a workshop where perhaps a man would, you know, prostrate or get on his knees in front of a woman and just first just stand there with his hands held up. Just in the position it's going to bring in the space of service.
Mm.
Then he would stand there, just not even touching the woman, just being just present to her, right? Can you feel that?
Yeah.
I mean, guys should just get on their knees in front of a woman that would allow them to worship her. You know, that has to take place. Get on your knees, facing a woman with your hands kind of held palm up just by your shoulders, naked, and just wanting to be in the presence of that female energy and honoring it that way. I think that is amazing.
If a guy
would actually do that. Then I would say in his Lingam, let his Lingam become erect. And then with that fire, the erection is really about, I'm giving this erection to her to let her know that my energy is ready for her if she desires it. You know, if she wants it. What does she want? I'm here for her. Let your energy rise up and down. I mean, I would like to kind of like get guys, that would take a while, right? Just for guys to even get into that space. A lot of guys want to be of service and the way that I speak about it, but they're not in the sure how. So I would go into that kind of physical stance first. Then I would, I might direct them, and it depends if it's a couples workshop or if it's a co-ed workshop, what they would physically do. But the consciousness of being of service is about the yang energy. Being of service also brings prosperity.
Yes.
That means abundance into the land. Abundance. Because when men are out there every day working hard for their family, believe me, they are of service. They're working hard. They're being submissive. They need to be honored for that. I mean, I could flip that bad boy right around and do a workshop where women, I'm teaching women that your yoni and your second yoni is your mouth. And teach a prosperity ritual over the lingam that we can do and just absorb that lingam into our mouth to worship it. Same way I would have the men learn how to do that, you know, for women. I would do the same for women, but really bringing women to a space where they are honoring and respecting that energy as far as blessing it, not trying to control it and manipulate it to be my husband, to give me a ring. You know, just really being able to just receive the blessings of all male energy around us. I tell women, if you're walking down the street and a guy approaches you and says you're beautiful and he may not be your type, just say thank you. A lot of women say, yeah, well, not, and I've been there, but if you say something to them, you're not interested, but then they keep trying to pursue you. I said, well, that's still a blessing. All you say is I'm not available. You're not responsible for what they do. I always say, can't blame a man for trying.
Yeah.
You know, really. So I would try to get into more of this kind of space where you're giving men permission to get on their knees the way they do for women. Because even in our sexual encounters, I don't think the men are getting on their knees the way women get on their knees.
No.
And I think they need to get on their knees more and really experience the pleasure of honoring women and being in a sexual embrace. There's a shift that occurs when a woman feels truly given to, and the trust that develops between a people are very important, and it's valuable, and it happens to sexual encounters.
I think that's very, very important, and it's one of the things that we teach at Sexy Spirits. When Anton teaches the orgasmic providers, most important thing that a man has to get is the idea, he has to get out of his mind the idea, when's it going to be my turn?
Right.
He has to know that he is there to provide pleasure, and that his turn is right now. It's right now. This is your time. This is the best thing for you. It's right here, right now, what you're actually doing. You have to be totally present and totally preoccupied with what you're doing right here, right now, which is adoring her, giving her pleasure, however you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be thinking about when am I going to get mine? No, you can't think that way, because she will feel that. She will pick it up. And also it's going to influence how your performance. So you have to be in that mindset. And so that's a really, that's the most important thing, the first lesson to learn.
And it really is a reprogramming, because I find this often in my couples, workshops or private sessions as well, is that couples are reworking the way that they're exchanging energy. And a really cool thing about it is I'm just really happy that when people, you know, all the workshops aren't about I'm going to this workshop because something's wrong with me. It's not about that. We're going to this workshop, we're going to Reverend Goddess because we want to shift. We want to bring more pleasure into our lives. Let's come at it from that standpoint, too, because everybody's beautiful. We're listening to the show. I'm doing my things. You're doing your thing, Steve, and because we're rocking it, you know? And if we come from a place where I love myself enough that I want to really learn more about my body, it's healthier than saying, well, I'm going to this because I don't know anything about my body. Because let me tell you, a lot of times, even though I may think I need to learn more, if I'm insulting myself in any way, if there's a shutdown. So I want to say that we are always going out and going to tantric gatherings, erotic enlightenment, like I call them, because we want to continue to evolve. We are in a state now in our sexual consciousness as a people that we know something's fucked up, but we also know that I'm good.
Right.
And I'm going to take care of me, and I'm going to take care of those that I love, the people that I'm around. So I want to take it from that place. And when you can really bring that blessing into your body, you come into these gatherings and you're just going to continue to raise it. And I notice with my couples a lot that they're reworking the way that they're sharing pleasure, because it's been more about, especially couples really go through this, especially married couples with children, and they get stuck in the slave mentality of working and paying bills and everything, that they lose the very thing that brought them together, and that's that sexual embrace. And they have to, like, okay, I'm doing it for him because I'm a good wife. I have to do it for him because he needed it. I don't want him going anyplace else. There's this anxiety about the woman having sex and just come on, get it over with.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're so, but when they come out to these groups, they know that's not true. They know that's not their truth. Because they are being responsible, and they've been irresponsible. You know, so they're really seeking my classes and my private sessions because they want to take it to another level. Even, you know, just going to these kind of classes, even for just for a new experience, it doesn't have to be about whether you take it home or not, because you take
right.
every experience home. Just to come for a body work session to bring in a new erotic experience is very healthy for couples. They may not even practice it when they get home, but just having the memory in their soul, they're going to have a better exchange with each other. So I really applaud couples that work together and adding pleasures into their life. Non-monogamous, monogamous couples, whatever they're doing together is going to raise their coupleship vibration in a tantric way. You know, so.
Yeah, I thought it was really great going to the Lingam Intensive that I went to. I thought it was really, and definitely want to, I want to get to another one, and I like to have one. At Sexy Spirits, but I thought it was really great. I thought it was, you know, you're just such a presence there, and so commanding.
Yeah, you know, I you know, listen, I just absolutely love men. I love women. I love bodies, but when I'm around, and I'm an Aries, I like to tell people what to do, but it's like...
No.
Oh. But, you know, so I just kind of figured me out. You know, I was like, what can I do? But, you know, let me tell you something. When you're sitting in a room with people that are willing to be naked in front of each other, for just in that experience alone, we are healing an area of our psyche.
Yes.
And to be part of making that happen, let me tell you something. It's a powerful experience for me. And then, just on a like on a physical level, it's very arousing. Everyone that comes to groups, it's very arousing because the people are listening to me and they're charging me up as I'm teaching a class. And so we're exchanging energy all night. And, you know, as a woman sitting there and telling guys what to do with their lingam, like, I know because I do and they know I do. Oh, I just love it. I just want to kiss everybody. And it's really, I mean, I found the way the goddess and what I know speaks through me in a very natural way. I really want to teach in a very natural kind of layman's female, male, coupleship, same sex, any kind of way that you're going to get it. Like, I don't need to speak all the Sanskrit language, you
right.
know. I do in some environments, but I think it's important that all people know that my purpose here is to share my pussy with whomever I want to, because this is my body, and my body is blessed, and my unified intention is to be one with others. In the groups, whether it's a Lingam Intensive or a Yoni Intensive or an erotic trance dance, we know that we do this together. In order to be able to do this together, it first begins with me self-loving. Putting my hand on my own pussy, looking at my own wetness, smelling my scent. A guy, you sit there, you hold your lingam, stand in the mirror, look at yourself. What is the gift that you're giving to a person when you're sharing your body with them?
Right.
That evolves you into being able to be in community. You know, and
I think
really,
that's one of the hardest things to do.
What? Looking at your own lingam? You can't. Have you looked at your lingam lately?
Yeah, but what I mean is, I think that's. I think I can't say for all men, but I'm saying, let's say, it's such a hard thing to go into, well, to go from, let's say, holding the lingam and get the idea into the idea of self-loving instead of just jerking off.
Oh, okay. Well, that's about goal again.
Right.
You know, that's about the goal. That's saying that my self-loving is about me having the ejaculation or the orgasm rather than just the pleasure of touching my own body and learning my parts.
No, not so much the goal, but just the idea of getting away from that, and that it's good to do this, it's okay to do that, it's loving to do this, you know, it's empowering to do this. Because we're just given so much negative information, negative education, We're not taught this. We're not taught the virtues of the lingam.
No, I know we're not. But when you talk about self-love, you're saying that, you know, when someone goes to masturbate, they're going to masturbate just to have an orgasm or ejaculate.
Well,
are you saying
there's
shame around it?
Right, but getting beyond that, getting to the point where it actually is self-loving, and that,
right.
You know what, and you actually, you want to do this, you just don't want to jerk off, you just don't want to come, you want to experience the whole thing.
Right, getting to that place of self-love. Right,
right. And get into a place where you're also reprogramming and re-imprinting, to quote Robert Anton Wilson, I had one of these.
Yeah.
To get into that, you know, I think that's one of the major steps, and I see a lot of that in the work of Joseph Kramer. I see a lot of that work being done among gay men. I don't see too much of it among straight men, although there are those who are doing that, particularly more in the tantric world. But I'm seeing, you know, that, you know, this, like you said, it's a very powerful thing that we have. But what are we doing with it, and how are we using it? And we have to, like, retrain and re-educate and,
yes.
and reprogram and get to that whole point. And I think that's probably, if we want to look at the future or the next thing or an alternative, I think that's so much important to do that. And I think that's why you see women really coming at the forefront of this movement. That's why you see the people who are the sexperts, the writers, the activists. They're all women. You see very few straight men up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the only guys you see up there who are straight either have initials after their names, doctors, or they're these guys, you know, like Tucker Max and people like that, you know, who are like, you know, I hope they serve beer in hell, that kind of thing, you know, the drunkards. You don't see a fully conscious, fully present, straight man up there talking who's not a doctor.
Right. Well, I mean, what about, I'm not really sure if he's a doctor or not, but Gary Stamper. He does a lot of conscious workshops for men and shamanism and, like, orgasm provider. But I want to say something, though. I want to say about the self-love and about the programming. We all kind of screwed up in our society, and we've had decades over periods of, you know, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, you know, now, where there's these bursts of hope regarding our sexual rights. And I come from a place where a lot of the reason I do my own work is because of the self-healing I needed to go through.
Yes.
Okay. And I had to take back my own sexual power, take back my body, take back my right and my mind to have my body the way it is. I mean, when I was growing up, looking at the TV set and looking in the magazines, there was never anybody like me.
Right.
Never anybody like me. And then my shape, forget about it, just didn't exist. And so I went through some problems with that. But in that, there's something in me, which is probably why God is why I do the work that I do. I even though I had negative thoughts about myself, there was another voice inside of me that was like, that's bullshit.
Mm.
That's bullshit. Nope, not true. And it kept nagging at me growing up as a young woman. And I stand naked because there was a time when I was just ashamed of my body. And so standing naked first just for myself was a very healing experience. Standing naked and looking at myself, very healing experience. Standing naked in front of someone, very, very healing experience. Let me tell you something. Young, we've all grown up, and we know what that's like. In the beginning, you just do the dry humping, the touching, but you don't take off anything. You know,
right.
All this stuff is a sin in that. Then the day when you actually let yourself be seen by someone naked, come on, all these steps we take, and every time we do that, it's an act of power.
Mm.
Now we're in a situation, I'm in a situation where I'm allowed and able to run groups with people that can show their light in their body and express their body and embrace their body and love themselves, and we take that through our self-love. And if anybody's listening to this and people that are connected to what we're about now, they are ready. And a lot of us are going to continue to share what we learned in this interview, in my gatherings, at Sexy Spirits Gathering, any conversation that we have with people that we talk to, Steve, are going to spread that energy out there, too, for those that want it. First begins in self-love. Then it begins with one another. Then it begins in a group environment. Then it goes into community. It goes into society. And it evolves and it evolves. And next thing you know, you're going to look up in the sky. You're going to say, is it a bird? Is it a plane? You're going to say, is Reverend God, this is pussy. You're going to say it. You're going to see me all wet, pink in the sky, a little bit of chocolate around the edges. You know what I'm talking about. Because
absolutely,
this is self-love. So placing a great exercise with the masturbating to the point where you feel like you one more stroke, you're going to come, and then you stop and you move your hands, deliberately move your hands to your heart. Powerful, powerful exercise to shift the way we're self-loving. Do that several times and then allow yourself to have the orgasm. It opens up the heart. You know, and all that we're really attempting to do is to bring ourselves into individual yin-yang balance.
Yeah.
Then we can bring ourselves into balance and in the things that we choose to do in our lives, not even just about sex, genital contact, I mean. And then choosing the people that we want to share ourselves with in genital contact, which is just the most wonderful gift we can give to someone. Then to get into an environment as to whether, you know, am I going to stay in this monogamous relationship? Am I polyamorous? Am I polygamous? However you're choosing to share your body in a sexual way with other people is what we're talking about. And that should go into a space where you're really just talking about your universal love and doing it for your choice, not because your program are imprinted to do so, you know, how you live your life.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that, you know, my mission is to be able to help people to come into wholeness in an exciting way, you know, to have fun with it, to have experiences, because once we have experiences in our body, it becomes memory in our soul. And then the soul is how we're all connected. The soul thrives on attachment. So we got it going on because, you know, God has created us to be one. We come from a one source. We come into manifestation. I know that I talk a lot with God. God is all it is, and I pray and all this really cool stuff that I love that makes my pussy wet. But you want to have the language for whatever it means for you to honor your body, to get you wet, to keep your heart beating. It doesn't have to be the language that I use, but it is a language that connects you to your body, and you know that whoever you choose to be with, that is a divine choice, and it is beautiful, and it is special, and it's meant to be. However, what form it takes has to go into righteous judgment. Righteous judgment is you need to decide for you and yourself what is the lifestyle you want to lead. Am I resonating with this person here? And is this energy exchange going to be good for me? Not predicting the future. I mean, in the moment, what are you feeling? Are you feeling like you're doing it more for that person? You know, are we doing it as a shared experience? Because if you're doing it more for that person, well, is that something that you are able to do? You need to be able to sustain that energy and yours then, so that way you don't feel depleted afterwards. I know. I work with a lot of people that need my energy, don't know how to share energy yet. You know? So that's when you're getting into righteous judgment, as to when you're actually sharing pleasure with another and evolving. So, you know, getting into self-love, understanding that, and then evolving in our life style through sharing our nudity and sharing our bodies with another, to go into vulnerability, to experience the eternal ecstasy, stay into that oneness, and then developing trust. We create magic. We'll walk on air. And that's what I'm trying to get out there with what I do in private sessions and groups and in my writings.
Yeah, I just think it's just so important.
Well, it is important, but it's important in a practical way. What is the one thing you can do right now, Steve,
mm-hmm.
that you can do right now in an erotic way that would just to honor another person? What would you do in your consciousness? What could you do?
Mm.
Okay, it's important, yeah, but what do we do? What is our act of power?
Mm.
Could you, what?
Well, I would definitely kneel before her.
Who?
whoever that partner would be at that moment.
You want to have that. Yeah, in that moment, yeah. Have that image, have that permission. You know, we want to find ourselves, honor, you know, fantasies, right? Healthy fantasies are the fantasies you would have. Let's say if you're self-loving, you would fantasize about something that you've done that's brought you a lot of pleasure. Fantasize about that again and give it that energy. Or fantasize about something that you could create,
right,
you know, and make happen. Or fantasize about something or someone that you have a connection with, that is cool with you thinking about them and giving them your gift, you know?
Right.
And then you have the other fantasies where there is no exchange, even in consciousness, where it could put you into a space of where the soul is sharing itself with something that is not receiving energy, and it creates a hole in the energy field, and then you find yourself needing more of that because you didn't really have a proper exchange. That can go into addiction.
Right, because that's because there's nothing. It can't.
Viable.
There's nothing for it to manifest. There's nothing for it to go to, and so it bounces back on you.
Right, because there's no act of consciousness. It's not really a life force. It's a picture in a magazine.
Right.
It's a person on in a movie, a porno or something like that. You know,
right.
That really doesn't. It's not being. There's no shared experience. So we need to be careful with those kind of fantasies. But in healthy fantasies, we're really bringing a lot of healing into our own bodies, into the environment, into the world. And we walk on the earth body in a healthier way. You know, we're not stealing energy. We're not taking energy. We're not controlling for power.
Right.
We're seeking our desires and achieving enlightenment. Remember what Robert Anton said? The modern war is authority against desire?
Yes.
Okay. You know what's going
Absolutely.
On out here. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much for this evening and for being my guest tonight, and also, more importantly, for being my friend.
And, I love you too, Steve.
and sharing with all this that we do. Please go to the Sensual Mystic.
Sensuous Mystic.
SensuousMystic.com. Check out it's a beautiful site, and the Full Moon Erotica. These are amazing, amazing stories. Reverend Goddess Charmaine is an amazing erotic writer. But also, please, if you're in the New York, New Jersey area, please check her out in terms of going to one of her workshops. They are very, very powerful and extremely inspiring, as she is. Thank you so much once again for being my guest. Thank you to everyone who's been listening tonight. Merry Christmas. Happy
Merry
New
Christmas.
Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Yule time to everybody.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, darling. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you have been listening to Mondo Eros live on bbsradio.com. Thank you, and good evening.